I'm Tass Mellis of The Starters.
This is Ben Golver with the Open Floor Podcast.
Hi, I'm Kristen Ludlow from NBA Inside Stuff.
I'm OG Anunoby of the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, I'm Elena Deladon, and welcome to the Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, non-binary basketball fans of all ages, races, sexualities, and genders, welcome to Double Clutch. With me, Hugh Hopkins, I'm the Hoops Nerd, and sitting just across from me, not that way, that way. I can never get that right. It flips the screen on me. I can't handle it. And it's just to the side of me there is Harry Harrison. How are you there, Harry?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Before you go too deep into it, we must start properly by saying happy birthday, Harry. I can't believe you've decided to join us on your birthday, but a big thanks to you. How are you doing, sir? How's your day been?
It's been good. I've been gifted a pair of Jordan 1s, my first ever pair of Jordan
fire emojis
by my wonderful girlfriend today, and you know, if that's not confirmation of the need to wife it up, I don't know what is.
She's definitely a keeper. Good work.
Exactly.
Good work, Harry's girlfriend. What's her name? Do you want to give her a shout out?
Cara. Go on, Cara. Love you, babe.
Well done, Cara. We all love you. Good decision. And in the background, throwing in the occasional sound bomb and making all the magic happen, as you can see, both Harry and I look absolutely fantastic today, even though that's partly us, but it's also a huge thanks to Captain Kirk in the background.
Oh, sexy girlfriend!
Thank you very much, Kirk. Good to hear from you. And of course, a big thanks to Matthew Wellington, who's probably going to chop this up and make it into some audio delight for the podcast listeners who are listening after the fact. But thanks for joining us on Twitch. If you are joining us live, it's a great to be with you all. I haven't been on for a few weeks. I don't think you've been on for a few weeks. So We've got a lot to catch up on, but obviously, you know, the listeners, they'll be tuning in week after week. You know, the diehard fans, we know who they are.
But
so we won't go into too much details of things that they've discussed in the last week. But let's jump very briefly into around the association. So, the world of basketball has been pretty much on fire for the past few weeks because, you know, we went from having the NBA finals and, of course, you know, the WNBA was gearing up to be a fantastic season. But both of those have come to an end now, or certainly the WNBA is on hiatus while the Olympics is going on. And it has been probably the best Olympic tournament, basketball tournament in my lifetime for both the men and the women, is the USA. Men and women are vulnerable, the men more than the women, to be perfectly honest. We've seen the introduction of 3x3 basketball, which has been one of the true highlights of this summer so far. And it's great to see that attracting so many more eyeballs. But you've got other teams like Australia on the men's side and Spain on the men's side. You've got Luka Doncic dragging Slovenia to be this powerhouse, taking them onto the next tier of international basketball. On the women's side, we've seen some great play from Spain, from France, from Australia as well. And that tournament is really gearing up. 3x3 has been this, you know, this amazing tournament. The USA didn't even qualify for that in the men's side. On the women's side, they lost one of their games to the hosts, I believe it was, to Japan. So it all looked a little bit worrying, but they did manage to then run the rest of the table and take the gold medal. But on the men's side, everyone sort of thought that it was going to go to one of those European powerhouses because Europe really loves that 3x3 basketball discipline. It ended up going to Latvia, the gold medal. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to the USA women. But now we are down to the quarterfinals stage. And I'll jump into that into just a second. But in the background to all this, of course, the NBA is also sort of kicking up again a little bit because we've got free agency. We had the draft a couple of nights ago. And there's been rumors, there's been people opting out that you thought were going to opt in, people opting in that you thought were going to opt out. It's been a crazy, crazy couple of weeks. So let's get back into the show then. Let's get into the zone. There's your teaser for what we're going to be talking about on today's show. But let's start first, you know, the basketball that's actually being played at the moment. I know you've been in university. You haven't necessarily had much access to Eurosport HD6, which I think is the official basketball channel for Sky. For those of us who are lucky enough to have Sky, I'm not sure where it is on Virgin Media or whatever. But have you managed to catch any of the Olympics this year, Harry? What's it been like for you?
Obviously not being able to. Well, the BBC's license is restricted this year, so they've been focusing on medalists and result events. GB are likely to win medals in. I watched lots of the triathlon, for example, but. Basketball, not so much. I managed to catch the men's and women's 3x3 finals on Red Button Replay on the BBC because I wasn't planning on forking out for Discovery Plus to watch the basketball live. So I managed to watch the Red Button Replay of that. And first thing I want to say is Kelsey Plum is a hooper. Like, not just a basketball player, she's a hooper. I may have to jump ship from being a Lynx fan to an Aces fan just because of Kelsey Plum. I absolutely love her. What a star. She did absolutely fantastic. The whole USA team has played really well, to be fair. You know, they did have that little bump and hump in the road against Japan, which I think was a shock to a lot of us, to be fair. But what a run, and they've played fantastically as well. And you know, as much as a game can really change quite quickly in 3x3, I don't feel like that final was really up for debate who was going to win that once it got started, because they came out of the gates in that final fantastically. So yeah, Kelsey Plum and USA did fantastic in a 3-on-3. But obviously other than that, you know, in our, well, regular basketball, I suppose you could call it, as you've said already around the association, Doncic has been, on my research, I'd used some explicits, but I guess just doing really, really well. To really elevate Slovenia's game. They've been fantastic. But in the women's, I think my main thing is I think the US aren't necessarily taking advantage of some of the players that they should be. Which I guess is kind of controversial. We can maybe come on to that later. I don't know when we're kind of supposed to be coming on to that, but I've kind of just been...
No, dive into it. Go for it.
No, well, the main one for me, and I guess I could be biased being a Minnesota Lynx fan, and no, because of how I've had the question asked before, there is no family affiliation to Minnesota. I just happen to be a fan of both the teams in Minnesota.
That's okay.
But I think there needs to be some respect put on Nafisha Collier's name. She's played in one of the first three games that they've played, and I just think it's absolutely unacceptable. She's a future star, the rookie of the year, the NBA rookie of the year, maybe last season or the year before, sorry. And this season, on a resurgent Lynx, might I add. The Lynx were absolutely shocking at the start of the WNBA season. It was very frustrating, but they've absolutely been on a tear, and I think they're up at the fourth seed now at the hiatus, I think. In the league, actually, if fourth seed in the league, maybe. And she's averaging 17.3 points per game, just for one thing. I know she's still, you know, Sylvia Falls is also another Lynx that's doing really, really well, but I think Fee Collier needs to be utilized by this USA team because she's outstanding, and I think she just brings so much on the offensive end, which Team USA obviously aren't struggling with because, you know, they have some incredible players on that end, but I think she just brings so much that it's ridiculous that she hasn't been utilized more, and I think it'd be making their run a hell of a lot easier if they did.
I think it's very going back to what you're saying, I can't believe we're diving into WNBA this early. This is a dream come true for me. But going back to what you're saying right at the start of the season, I think I believe Nafisa Collier joined the team slightly late from her European team. For those of you that don't know, a lot of WNBA players, because the season takes place in the summer, A lot of players then go overseas to Europe, to China, to South America, to make a bit more money during the year. So it's great to see the Lynx have turned it around. And I'm with you. She is a star right now. I think there's a lot of deference being paid to some of the more experienced players on Team USA. You've got Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird, who are both going for their fifth gold medal, consecutive gold medal. They would be the first basketball players ever in the history of the Olympics to win five gold medals if they do succeed this year. But they, you know, they have had a few scary moments. Prior to the Olympics, they played Nigeria, and I think it was Australia. It was the same sort of tournament as the men's exhibition. And they did face quite a few challenges. They lost a couple of the exhibition games. And, they've played some bloody good teams since they've arrived at the Olympics, obviously. That being said, they have qualified. They are still considered the number one seed in the world. And the women's Olympic quarterfinals were released earlier today, and it breaks down like this. So in the quarterfinals, it will be USA versus Australia, Serbia versus China, and then in the other bracket, it'll be Belgium versus Japan and Spain versus France. Now, USA versus Australia, I think they are playing this Olympics without Liz Cambage. There was a bit of an incident before the teams went out, so it meant that she was sort of left off the team, or she stepped aside from the team, depending on which way you want to read it. So they are a bit weaker than perhaps they might have been. That being said, they do still have a good squad, but they did sneak into the quarterfinals only today. They only qualified today when they had to beat Puerto Rico by 24 points. And they beat them by like 29 points. So amazing feat, considering that they were basically evens at halftime. But I think USA is probably going to take that one. Even though USA don't look as strong as they have in previous tournaments, it does feel like they've got the strength to be able to do that. Well, have you managed to catch up with any of the other teams yet? Or is it mainly just been the USA team you've been following?
Well, considering I've not been, had I had the ability to maybe watch it live and more closely, I probably would have been watching the other teams a bit more. But when it comes to just going on YouTube for highlights, it's been quite a bit more Team USA focused. I know that, with Liz Cambage not on that Australia team, it's made their road to the Olympics a little bit more difficult, to say the least. But because Liz Cambage is, you could ask some people, she could be the best player in WNBA right now, but she's certainly one of the top players, in the WNBA right now. So it is a big loss for Australia.
Definitely.
But, yeah, no, my focus has definitely been Team USA so far. So yeah, not much more to add other than that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'll just run through the other teams then. So we've got Serbia versus China. Now, Serbia, traditionally one of the powerhouses of Europe, were arguably one of the best teams in the world, but they are not playing brilliantly. That being said, they do play best when their backs are against the wall. But I think personally, I think China have been too strong in this tournament. They are going to get through. So maybe we're going to see USA China in the semifinals there. Then you got Belgium versus Japan. Now Belgium haven't had the best all round tournament, but Emma Meeseman is the player. She's having a Luka Doncic type of tournament where she is basically taking over and is probably the best women's basketball player at the Olympics right now, in my opinion. I reckon they're going to get to the next round ahead of Japan. And then Spain versus France. This is going to be amazing. Basically, these guys play at Eurobasket every couple of years, and it is always fierce. They played against each other in 2019 for the Eurobasket gold medal, but Spain won that one. Spain didn't do so well earlier this year, and France came second and won a silver medal. but you know that's going to be, there's a lot of history in that matchup, and it's going to be fun to watch. Going back to what we were saying before with the women's 3x3 tournament, I noticed Kirk had a couple of the highlights up just then. It was really great to see so many different players that you don't typically see. And it was an absolute shame for, I just want to give a shout out to Katie Lou Samuelson of Team USA. She essentially played in all the qualifying games and got USA to the Olympics, but tested, I don't know whether she tested positive with COVID or she was just in close contact with someone who had it. But unfortunately it meant that at last minute she had to withdraw and ultimately, Jackie Young took her place, but Jackie Young did fantastically well. And also Alicia Gray for me, even though Kelsey Plum was the big scorer, Alicia Gray was everywhere. She was the defensive, she was always playing the best offensive player on the other side, and she was always grabbing rebounds. And to me, she was the MVP of that team. Now then, moving on to the men's side. God, there's so much to cover. The 3x3, that was a great tournament as well. Latvia ended up winning it, as we said. But also the stage has been set for the quarterfinals of the men's 5-on-5 as well. Slovenia versus Germany. Now that's going to be fun. I mean, as much as Mo Wagner is doing his bit for Germany, I think Luka Doncic and that team from Slovenia, they've just been next level. Because it's not just Luka. Like he has a couple of good ball handlers on that team as well that can sort of take the pressure off him a little bit. Dallas Mavs, if you're watching, maybe consider that for next season. Then you've got Spain versus the USA. So that's going to be a really interesting matchup because, honestly, Spain could be one of the challengers for this tournament. And then you've got Australia versus Argentina, which is always great to see Luis Scola for Argentina. I think this is his fifth Olympics now.
What a don.
he is just a warrior, that man. And also, God, he must be the most handsome basketball player on the planet right now.
He gives me. I'm gonna say he's like an Argentine Mike Tuck, isn't he? He just seems to.
Oh yeah, that is what you come to Double Clutch for, yeah. For the British basketball and the international basketball and the NBA crossover, mushed in. That's what we're talking about.
Not annual episode, recurring Mike Tuck reference in there today. I'm quite pleased.
Good work. And then the final quarterfinal is Italy versus France. Now, that should be a walkover for France, but Italy have been playing pretty well, to be honest. So this is going to be a very interesting remainder of the tournament if you can watch it. I know some people have been a bit confused as to where they can watch Olympic basketball. If you've got television, whether it's Sky or I know Virgin Media have it as well, I think, but access to Eurosport, then you will have Eurosport 6. And you can watch Olympic basketball on that. So who have you got then crowning the, I know you haven't managed to watch all of it, but, I think USA are probably still the favorites, I reckon, but do you see them actually pulling it out or do you think there's too much motivation for some of these other teams?
I'm not sure, like the US team have, men's team obviously more specifically have had a few bumps in the road, a few disappointing results, underperforming results, but I still think in terms of the quality they're the number one team still. They just got to hope it doesn't fall apart to Nigeria again or something, you know what I mean? As long as they don't do that, they should feel quite confident they can go and get a gold. Spain are always in the mix for a medal. As I say, I've not really been watching it too much, but based off history, they've always kind of been there for the time being. But again, I'm still taking Team USA. I think I'm not going to say anything crazy for this one. I know I've built that reputation. But.
They have turned a few things around, to be fair. I think the first few games, they were struggling to buy into Popovich's system. The reports were the players wanted to run plays, like you do in an NBA game, whereas because of the quick nature of throwing international basketball teams together, I think Popovich was more like, let's just try and learn sort of ways of working rather than, sort of don't necessarily have plays, but have just like a mini system. These are the things that we're going to think about when we're going out onto the court. We're not necessarily going to run a back pick here so we can get the back cutter open. It's more of a free flowing offense built on certain regular occurrences. You know, if you go this way, I'm going to go this way. If you pass us over there, I'm going to go over here. But I think, the way that it's worked out is they seem to be sort of getting used to those systems now. One thing I will say is that France look excellent. They went undefeated in their preliminary rounds. And the same goes for Slovenia, I believe. So I think it will be an interesting remainder of the tournament. Honestly, I don't know who's going to come out of it. I think Spain versus USA is going to be a great matchup because you've got all these old veteran NBA heads as well. You know, you've got Ricky Rubio, you've got Marc Gasol, you've also got Pau Gasol still hanging in there somehow. But he's playing really well. You've got Rudy Fernandez kicking about in there somewhere. Sergio Llull, who's I think might have a bit of NBA experience, but all of these players can play up to the USA level, and given their experience and the fact that this is probably the last run for Pau Gasol, definitely, and maybe Marc Gasol, this might be the year that they really want to knuckle down and shoot for that gold medal, something that I don't believe Pau Gasol has ever done, is an Olympic gold. So it should be an interesting tournament. But moving on to, we spoke about 3x3 a little bit. We were hoping to get Martin Dion on. Unfortunately, he's on his way back from a 3x3 tournament in Exeter, and he's had a few delayed trains. So we will hopefully get him back on in the future. But there have been some great 3x3 tournaments going on around the UK at the moment, the Ball Out 3x3 competition. And also, we've had some recent success where the women's team in the women's British team have actually secured a place at the FIBA Europe Cup in September or October, I believe that is. So make sure you stay tuned to that. And there's also an under 23s tournament going on at the moment. And shout out to GB Basketball Twitter. They're doing a great job at keeping everybody up to date with what's going on that. So if you do find some time in between the Olympics and free agency and all that other rubbish, check out GB basketball and go support the home nation, as it were. But shall we move on then a little bit to NBA stuff? Because even though the season is finished, we've, of course, in the past few days, we've had the NBA draft and we have had free agency kickoff earlier today. And there has been a bunch of stuff happening already. So just as a heads up, I'm going to run through the first, I don't know, 10 or maybe 11 or maybe 12, simply because that includes the San Antonio Spurs, the draft picks. So we have the Pistons selected Cade Cunningham, Rockets drafted Jalen Green, Cavaliers took Evan Mobley, Raptors took Scotty Barnes, Magic took Jalen Suggs, Thunder drafted Josh Giddey, who I believe is the Aussie. Is that right? Yeah. And then Warriors drafted Jonathan Kuminga. Magic took, I spoke about Mo Wagner earlier. His brother, Franz Wagner, was selected by the Magic. You got the Kings selecting Davion Mitchell. Apologies if I haven't pronounced that correctly. Then you got Pelicans taking Zaire Williams, Hornets drafting James Bouknight, and Spurs with Josh Primo. So that's as far as we're going, because I'm obviously going to insult some people by mispronouncing their names. Apologies. But yeah, who do you like out of that top group so far? Who are the players that have, like, you know, were drafted and you were like, yes, that's the name I wanted to see in this position?
Well, I think the interesting thing about this draft class is the quality. And obviously, we mentioned this before, the show who, but it's just not quite had the same sort of hype as last year yet. The last year's draft class actually turned out to be pretty good. But in terms of the talent and the depth of talent in this draft class, it's much, much better than last year's. The top three guys
Do you think it's not being spoken about because of everything else that's going on with the Olympics and that sort of stuff? Everybody's focus is elsewhere, maybe?
That's the only thing I can really think of that's happening that people are finding more interesting, you know, because the finals was fantastic. And that's finished, so people need to find something else to go on to. So, you know, the Olympics, I guess, is the first shout, and now the draft has happened, but I don't feel like it was maybe being talked about quite enough. But, you know, all those guys that went in the top three would have been consensus number one picks in any other draft class. In any draft class, they're fantastic. Three fantastic prospects. Hold on.
I've got to push back a little bit. They weren't going to be consensus number one picks in Zion's draft class or in LeBron's draft class or Tim Duncan's draft class. Temper that a bit. Where are they? Like, who do you compare it to another player who's draft, like, in their draft year?
Okay, so don't get me wrong, nobody's got the hype of, say, a once-in-a-generation type player, as we've seen with LeBron James, Ben Simmons when he was drafted, and Zion Williamson more recently. But I think it's fairly safe to say that any of those three guys in those drafts, if they were in those three draft classes, would have been a number two pick, the clear number two pick, maybe. I think all of them are phenomenal players. Cade Cunningham, for me, I had a couple of names down as being like my favorite pick of the lot. Cade Cunningham going number one was my first one because he is a terrific on-ball player. He brings a good bit of hustle defensively as well. Ready to make an impact. It's going to be a dominant ball handler and point guard that the Pistons have quite frankly needed for some years now, and he's going to do a great job there. You know, Jalen Green is almost a the ball handler creates his own shot sort of thing. I suppose you could say that they haven't really had since maybe James Harden. Not quite at that level, of course, yet. He may never reach that level. I'll have to wait and see. But he's definitely got the potential to have a really, really high ceiling in the league and be a real offensive force. And then Evan Mobley, the number three to the Cavs, I believe, is your ideal modern big man. Really agile, can move his feet, can shoot the ball from outside at a decent rate, and can protect the rim too. So they're all kind of ideal prototypes of the positions that they play in the modern NBA at this point, and they're all quality. I think my favourite pick of the lot, though, and I know there's a few Magic fans in the NBA and UK community, but Jalen Suggs slipping all the way to, I think, what was it, six or seven he maybe fell to?
Five.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, either way, falling to five for Jalen Suggs was maybe a bit further than people were expecting, and that's a great, great pickup for the Magic. I think just because of where, you know, falling to the Magic, I think he could be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year come the end of the season because a really great player, Jalen Suggs, and, you know, it's a great pickup for the Magic, who as much as they're kind of loaded on young guards at the minute, like Karl Anthony, Markel Fultz, I think they've still needed somebody that's got quality potential. That's a bit unfair. Karl Anthony's got the potential to be good and stuff like that, but to be a star in the guard position.
But they also drafted Franz Wagner.
They did.
And that's another guard. He might be like a sort of shooting guard, small forward, but I think he's still in that mold, isn't he, of a perimeter player? Like, that seems a lot.
Franz Wagner, he will play a very, very different role to any of the guys that are on there. Franz Wagner is an elite defender. So is Jalen Suggs. They brought in two quality defensive draft picks there. That's really, really going to help them. And it's going to build what will be such a solid defensive core still with the likes of Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac on that team. You know, defensively in the future, that young core could be a real, real, real pain to score on. But I think the Magic are my best team. You know, they've had the best draft night in terms of their pick selection from that, just because of those players they managed to pick up. They're such quality players for where they were picking. And I think they'll both do wonders for the Magic, and it's going to really help them build a solid team.
Okay, so tell me then, because I'm such a Spurs fan, how good is Josh Primo? When should I order his jersey, now or on draft or on the first night of the season?
I would hold on the Josh Primo jersey just yet, Hugh. It's not necessarily a bad pick, but that is 12 was a hell of a lot earlier than he was projected to go. A name I was really surprised to see at 12 when I woke up the next morning. I'd work in the morning, so I didn't stay up to watch the draft. You know, the commitment wasn't there, unfortunately. But, you know, when he was at 12, when I woke up on the draft boards, that was a surprise. He was, you know, late first round sort of projections, and the Spurs took a jump. And I can't remember, there was a player more recently that was taken a lot higher that kind of has, Cam Johnson on the Suns.
Last year.
Was it last year? It was the same year as Kobe White, wasn't it?
Two years ago.
So, you know, Cam Johnson was taken a hell of a lot higher by the Suns than he was projected to go, and is now he was an integral part, you could argue, of that finals run and the run to the finals for the Suns. So, you know, it's not necessarily to say that, you know, that can't happen for Josh Primo, but it was definitely a high pick. I'd hold on it, and it's definitely a gamble from San Antonio.
So what you're saying is that in 2 years, when the Spurs are in the finals, he's going to be a key player?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's good to know. One player that I thought was possibly going to go higher. Now, I'm not a big draft guy, so, you know, my knowledge of draft, I admittedly, isn't great. But I heard a lot about Alperen Sengun. From Europe. I'm not exactly sure where he's from, but heard a lot of his name being kicked about. He ended up going to the Thunder, one of the hundreds of draft picks that they had, and was officially traded to the Rockets. I don't know if you know much about this guy. Have you seen him play?
Unfortunately not, no. You've probably picked out one of the few names
That's okay.
Be able to tell you more about.
I think he's not as well known to to sort of players to people who analyze college basketball, because he doesn't even speak English. I've seen him in interviews, and he's having to do it all with a translator as well. So it's gonna be interesting to see how he sort of gets sort of to out on the court, because he's not going to know where he's supposed to be running or standing, you know, but it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Okay, so that's draft in a nutshell. Let's move on a little bit, because also today we did kick off with free agency. And as I said at the top of the show, there's been players sort of opting in that you didn't necessarily think were going to be opting in, players opting out that weren't necessarily you wouldn't have thought wanted to opt out, but there have been a few big names. So the top ones that I've seen who have opted out, there's Kawhi and Chris Paul. Now, for those people who are watching and listening, you know, Chris Paul's just been to the finals. Kawhi Leonard is on, you know, a team that arguably should be in the finals, and possibly would have been had he not been injured and the Clippers not faced health issues. So why are these guys opting out? Tell us a little bit about why that's happening.
I think first of all, you know, if you're a betting man, Hugh, it'll be worth putting your money on both of them staying with Phoenix and the Clippers respectively. It's more than likely that we're going to see them kind of re-sign with both teams. I think Kawhi Leonard will start with, he opted out, yes, but he can sign a bigger contract by doing so with the Clippers. I think it's more about money for Kawhi Leonard. There's no real indication that we can see him beckoned elsewhere. And, you know, particularly now, he spent a lot of time communicating with Clippers front office over the last couple of weeks, and has actually been at a lot more of the prospect draft workouts for the team and been present at them than he has for previous teams. So, you know, I don't think this is Kawhi Leonard opting out because he's not committed to the Clippers. I think he's opting out to sign a bigger deal, rake the money in a bit and secure himself for the next couple of years because, well, he's going to be out for most of next season, but looks a bit with the injury he's got. And he's just tying himself in there.
And I imagine there might be a little bit to do with the fact that the Clippers need to improve because they are not, you know, even though he was out injured, and they were better than the previous season, I think it's fair to say. But I think they still need to find some pieces. So often players hold out a little bit longer to allow the team to sort of sign some others to see how their contract can fit. You know, ultimately, if he signs a 4-year contract with the Clippers today, or if he signs it in 2 weeks once they've signed a few people, they'll make the money work. So he will receive, I'm just pulling numbers out of thin air, but let's say he signs 4 years, $150 million or something. They'll either front load it. So if they get certain players, or if they don't get certain players and give him the extra money then, or they can backload it. And it means that, he gets more of his money in the latter stages of the contract, so they can find some pieces that can help them win a championship in the next few seasons, ultimately. And the same for Chris Paul. Chris Paul, he might not necessarily get the money. He technically had 1 year left. He might not necessarily get the money that he was getting. So what's happening there then? Why might he be opting out?
I've not read much on the reasons why Chris Paul may be opting out. I think it's maybe just that he can maybe pen a bit of a longer deal, but you know, you can do that anyway. You know, that's a long opt out to do that. There is some talk, however unlikely, that, you know, New Orleans are looking to get into the market for Chris Paul. They've made a few moves recently to kind of clear a hell of a lot of cap space away. Talked about, you know, Kyle Lowry being the number one target there, but Chris Paul is apparently something that, you know, the New Orleans are trying to look at. Very unlikely, you know, he's more than likely is going to re-sign with the Suns. He's got the friendship with Monty Williams and his chemistry with both Devin Booker and James Johnson, the team's GM. It's in an ideal place. It's not far away from LA where his family is. I was reading in The Athletic recently. So, it's unlikely he's going to, you know, go anywhere other than Phoenix. But in terms of why he's opted out to do this rather than just sign an extension mid-season or something is I don't know. I haven't asked that question, actually.
I imagine with Chris Paul, it's that he will earn less money now in this next season, but ultimately he is an aging point guard. Point guards over the age of 30 tend not to do very well anyway. Their bodies break down, and his body has broken down more years than most other players in the league, even at his age. So he would prefer to get a long-term deal. You know, he might end up getting... I think he's opting out of like $39 million or something crazy like that. He probably won't get anywhere near that for 1 year, but he will get 3 or 4 years, which means that he's got that guaranteed money for longer. It might be that a team offers him more, but ultimately, I think he probably, like, for the reasons that you said, I imagine he probably wants to return to the Suns. There is a bit of talk about the LA Lakers wanting to get him, but there's talk about LA Lakers wanting to get everybody. So let's talk a little bit about some of the names that have been linked. I think Melo, Carmelo Anthony has been linked there. Rudy Gay has been linked there. DeMar DeRozan has been linked there. Who am I missing? Talk us through some of the other names that are going around in these free agency rumors at the moment.
Well, it's hard not to think of many people who aren't, you know, linked with LA. Chris Paul has, you know, been linked with LA briefly because, of course, he's got a lot of family in LA.
And he was nearly traded if it wasn't for what's that, sorry?
For the veto that sent him to the Clippers.
Back in 2012, 2012, 2011, I believe that was.
Yeah. It's, I think it's a well, it's obviously a place that means a lot to Chris Paul. He spent some years there with the Clippers, but he's got a lot of family there too. So that link was definitely there. The Lakers made that blockbuster trade, I guess. Was it draft night? It might have been draft night. I can't remember. But, you know, Russell Westbrook is now a Laker. Kyle Kuzma is a Wizard. Whether Kyle Kuzma remains a Wizard is something to be seen. But, you know, Russell Westbrook, for one, is, as we can see there now in his Wizards uniform, if you watch it live, is a Los Angeles Laker. But that kind of trade has maybe almost made the possibility that DeMar DeRozan will end up in Los Angeles as part of a sign and trade deal, you know, null and void. That's unlikely to happen now with the Russell Westbrook trade, and it's, I suppose you could say, more than likely that DeMar DeRozan will return to the San Antonio Spurs, whether you like it or not. You know, you're going to have DeMar DeRozan for another year, but it looks more than likely. But yeah, there's always links to the Lakers. You know, the year that Kawhi Leonard clipped to the Clippers. There you go. he was linked to the Lakers. People saying, oh yeah, he's going to go to the Lakers. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's always names linked to the Lakers. You've named a few, but we'll just have to wait and see as to whether they actually materialise or not.
So, judging by what they do have then, of course, they've sort of built a big three, if you will, rather than a big two and the rest of the roster. They've added Russell Westbrook. How do you see that working with LeBron James and with Anthony Davis going forward?
I don't want to, you know, make judgments too quickly, which I know is surprising for me, you know, considering the takes I've had before a lot of the playoffs and the finals. But with Russell Westbrook, I think it doesn't make sense from really their needs kind of standpoint. They've traded away Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to get Russell Westbrook, which Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was one of their better three-point shooters from a team that isn't the most efficient in a way. You know, don't get me wrong, LeBron James has been improving his shooting ability over the last few years. So has Anthony Davis, but Russell Westbrook still isn't.
But I think if LeBron James is your best three-point shooter, that's not necessarily a good thing.
No, it's not. It's not a good thing. In terms of the modern NBA, the Lakers aren't exactly, you know, following the trend at this point, it doesn't look like, of let's load with a bunch of people who can shoot the rock from three. But I guess they're going to just try and run through the opposition over this next season and score layups every possession because, you know, they've got the big three personnel to do so. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I'm not entirely confident that it was a great trade, but Russell Westbrook trades and signings are always deemed to be, oh, well, that's a bit dumb by whatever team picked him up. So.
They're always headline news, aren't they?
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
Okay. So we've also got different players that have been kicked about. John Collins, who has received a bit of interest from the Spurs, whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know. These are the restricted free agents, by the way, which means they can receive offers from other teams, but the team that they are currently with can match those offer sheets. I believe I said that correctly. You've got John Collins, Lonzo Ball. There's a couple of players who can go for sign and trades. The two of the names which are going to be most interesting to watch is his best friends and former Toronto Raptors teammates, Kyle Lowry, and you've mentioned DeMar DeRozan. It'd be great to see them team up again. You've heard lots of people like Miami trying to get hold of them both. We've also seen earlier, just before we came online, Duncan Robinson is apparently preferring to stay with the Heat. So that should be interesting because he's, you know, he's been a crucial cog in them making their finals run a few years ago, or last year now. You know, I think he is elite at what he does in terms of three-point shooting and being long enough to cause issues on defense. But let's move on then a little bit. We've done a lot of hardcore basketball analysis, for whether it's Olympics or whether it's NBA or WNBA. But let's get into some Knicks silly nonsense.
Woohoo. Nothing but Knicks silly nonsense.
So for those of you who don't tune in regularly, Nick Whitfield is our resident nonsense creator at Double Clutch. He may seem serious and he may seem like a he takes things everything seriously, but I promise you there's an insane person up there somewhere. His question for this week, each week he gives us some silly nonsense to talk about. And this week he says, with the Olympics in full flow, it gets me wondering why, who from the world of basketball would have the potential to do some other Olympic events. My challenge is to pick three people from the world of basketball to enter a non-basketball event with a rationale as to why you've picked them for that sport. So let's go one for one. We'll go one each for these three. Who is your first one, Harry Harrison? Who's your first draft pick?
With my first pick in the NBA Olympic competition draft 2021 is for the 100 meters event, the sprint, of course. And I've gone with De'Aaron Fox for that one purely. And I feel like that's kind of a very safe bet, probably something that a lot of people, if they were given this kind of question, would come up with. But yeah, the very speedy, the slick as a fox, De'Aaron Fox. There you go. For the 100 metres, he can get up and down the basketball court in quite a quick time, so why can't he do the 100 metres as fast as Usain Bolt?
There has been an NFL player, I'm not sure of his name, but who's basically challenging Usain Bolt, because Usain Bolt is apparently tired and old and washed up, and this other guy has experience running 100 metres. Apologies, I don't know his name off the top of my head, but it's been very interesting watching all that kick off. So my first one, with my first pick, you need to go for star power with your first pick. So I went for Zion Williamson, and I went rowing because he's got that big upper body to really power through. And also he's got legs that can make him elevate like a ballerina. But you need that to be pushing back and forth. So yeah, I think put him in a Cox Piers. And I reckon he'll get gold no matter who you put him with.
I like it. that was a good one. I haven't really gone for star power with any of mine, really. I've kind of noticed now. But I just went... My second one was James Johnson to do some sort of martial art gold medal. I can't remember which ones he actually has black belts in. I think he might have a couple, but karate's in the Olympics now. So if he only does karate, he can do that too.
I think he does judo as well. I like that. That's a good shout.
James Johnson for whichever martial art he wants, because he probably can do them all, to be fair. He's a warrior, James Johnson.
he is, yeah. He's been into... And he's fancied himself as an MMA fighter as well, isn't he? I think there's rumours of that kicking about. So I'm going to switch over to the women's side a little bit now. We spoke about the 3x3 players earlier, but one of the players that I really love is Steph Dolson. She's sort of played the centre role. You don't really have positions in 3x3, but she plays for the Chicago Sky and she's a centre for them. But she's a tall, broad girl who's actually secretly really strong. So I quite fancy her for shot put, actually. I reckon she'd give that a good go. That's my choice for my second pick in this draft. Have you got a third pick there lined up?
I did. I had a couple and I kind of opted to go with the other one because I thought it might be a little bit more entertaining, and I went with Ron Artest specifically, not Meta World Peace. Ron Artest specifically for boxing, because the Malice at the Palace was a fantastic example of how he's keen to go out there and throw a few hands. So I went with Ron Artest specifically out of Ron Artest.
So maybe you just need his corner coach to just throw a glass of beer at him just before he goes out into the center of the ring.
While he's not looking, and then Ron turns around and says, "Oh, it was that guy," and he goes and wins his boxing match and run up Diego. That's a gold medal for the US just right there.
I like it. My third and final pick. is someone who's lacking in star power, I think it's fair. But it's Alexei Pokushevsky of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I want him to do high jump. I've watched some of these high jumpers, and they are lean, they are tall, they can obviously jump, but they sort of lithe in the way that they sort of roll over the bar, and he just seems like he has the body type, you know. So
yeah, I can picture him doing a high jump.
That's who I got anyway. That's this week's Nick's silly nonsense. So thanks Nick Whitfield for contributing that. Let's go then on to talking on D. If you don't follow us on Discord, make sure you check us out. We've got hundreds of followers on there now. Visit discord.me/doubleclutch. This is our discourse on Discord. One of the main topics of conversation in the past two or three days now. It's obviously NBA's 75th anniversary season, and every time they have one of these big anniversaries, 25, 50, they do the 25 best players of the past 25 years, and then they did the 50 best players of the past 50 years. Now, of course, they've announced that they're going to be doing the 75th anniversary season, so they're doing the top 75 players. So the last time they did it, I think it was 1996. Now, there are 10 players that come off the top of my head that I think pretty much everybody can agree. These 10 players are definitely going to be in the next group of top 25 players from the past 25 years. So I've got Duncan, of course, number one.
Absolutely.
Kobe, Allen Iverson, Steph Curry, LeBron, Durant, Carmelo Anthony.
Okay.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade.
I was waiting for Dwayne Wade. I was about
That's the ten. That's 10 of your 15 gone. Are there any in there that you sort of feel no about?
I think Kevin Garnett's been a bit robbed there. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure who I would trade him out for. But I think he's got to be up there. He's just such a culture player from the last 25 years, and he was fantastic, wasn't he? I'd probably switch. I think I'd switch up Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Garnett. Maybe a little bit controversial, but Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Garnett in that list, and you've got me sold.
No, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at swapping in Kevin Garnett for Melo. But let's say then that Melo is 11, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Who else? Let's fill out the next couple of spots then. Who else should be considered for, let's say, the top 15? Of the next 25.
Steve Nash.
I like that. Yeah.
Steve Nash. I'm a big Steve Nash fan. I love a traditional point guard. All these point guards that just shoot and score. You can go back to wherever hole you came out of. We want the traditional point guards that pass the rock and make everyone else better. We want Chris Pauls and Steve Nashes. That's what we want.
So you've got 2-time MVP Steve Nash.
Yes.
But he never went to the finals. There is another point guard that led a team to consecutive finals appearances, Jason Kidd. He eventually won one with the Dallas Mavericks. Would you consider him up there as well?
In the top 25, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, top 25. Yeah, you can have Jason Kidd in there. Why not? No, of course he can. He's a champion. He's an all-star, wasn't he? So, yeah, of course. And he's got a lot of assists throughout his career, which, again, we love to see. We love a point guard that throws out assists.
Okay. So a couple of others that I'm just going to throw out there to you. Personally, Pau Gasol, I have up there.
Okay.
Also, I think, on the bubble, Chris Bosh.
Yeah, that's good. Mm.
Again, on the bubble, Dwight Howard.
I was about to say Dwight Howard, yeah. If we got Pau Gasol in there, I think we have to have Dwight Howard in there. I think it's basically the same career over the last 25 years. They've been good, but... Well, no, because Pau got a ring, didn't he, with the Lakers?
He got two.
Yeah. Not quite the same then, but I think if Pau's in there, I think we've got to have Dwight Howard in there. What a guy.
I would argue that Pau's much more skilled. Dwight had his skill set and never really built upon it during the middle period of his career. Whereas Pau, I think, you know, his role changed and he got a bit better with how he was used. You know, he wasn't used as much, but almost Tim Duncan-like, you know, in the sense that his role changed throughout his career and he adapted well. So I would give him the nod ahead of Dwight, but I think Dwight is probably up there. Someone who's on the bubble that is possibly going to cause some controversy, Brandon Roy.
Brandon Roy was great, but, and I think just in terms of championships and impact, I think I'd throw in Tony Parker and maybe ahead of Brandon Roy. And I'm surprised you maybe haven't thrown in Tony Parker ahead of Brandon Roy's
year. I would throw in Manu Ginobili before Tony Parker, but that's just personal preference.
I think that, we can't load it too much with Spurs players, then we get accused of bias because we're
we can.
Manu Ginobili. If we've got Tony Parker in there, you have to have Ginobili in there. I don't know if we need Brandon Roy in there. I think, I don't know if he's top 25 of the last 25 years. Don't get me wrong, I haven't been an NBA fan for the last 25 years, but
over the past 25 years, he's probably not. But had his knees survived, in my heart of hearts, I believe he would have got there. So just one last bit on this then, as it was such a popular discussion on Discord. Give me three players from now who are going to be in the next 25 years.
Well, in which case, I think the clear one right now has got to be Luka Doncic. He's for sure going to be there. I think we also then have to throw in, you know what, I'm going to, and it's controversial because I haven't played an NBA game yet, but I'm going to throw Cade Cunningham in there. Not Cade Cunningham. And because he's not even allowed to be in the draft yet, and he's two draft classes away, but Victor Wembanyama, the French one, the centre. What a prospect. He's going to be in there. He's not even played an NBA game. He's not even entered a draft class. He's 2 years away from being drafted, but he'll be in there. And because I'm incredibly biased, Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay. He could be. He needs a couple of playoffs appearances first, but he's got the talent. I think some locks, you're going to find Giannis in there. You're probably going to find Trae Young, probably going to find Jokic, maybe Devin Booker. Those are some of the guys that I think are coming up in this next group that are going to probably be in that top 25 in the next few years. So let's hurry through a couple of questions then. We've had quite a few questions. We gave a shout out only like an hour before the show started and we had plenty of questions come in. So shout out to everybody who wanted to get involved in the show. First one is Tom Hall, occasional host on this show, fantastic basketball mind. And so you can, expect a really top-notch analytical question about the draft or about free agency. But no, of course, no, none of that. He said, how is Harry feeling about his Giannis will never be a championship winning player take?
Kirk, can we get some sad music going? I'd like to apologise to the Giannis Antetokounmpo fans out there. I'm a big boy. I can admit when I was wrong. Giannis is a champion now, and I take back what I said. He's a superstar. Thank you.
Yeah, I think when you
Chris
don't...
Chris Middleton is not a star. I stick by it. Chris Middleton is not a star, because that's going to come up later, and I stick by it.
I think it is going to come up later, because, you're taking some heat in the Discord chat. I'm not going to lie. Who was it? I think Richard Hunt called you the Skip Bayless of Double Clutch. I'm not sure that's a title you want, but, that's up to you.
Let's think about it. How much does Skip Bayless earn in a year?
How much do you earn in a year? Saying,
that's not the point. We're going to wait a few years.
The next question comes from BK to the UK podcast host and the man behind the Brooklyn Nets fan account on Twitter. He said, Matt Hardy said, it's not like me to be Nets-centric. But what's a realistic market for Spencer Dinwiddie? Borderline all-star in 2019-20, but only played a handful of games before partially tearing his ACL. He wants $125 million over 5 years. Tell me, Harry Harrison, is that realistic?
More and more players are earning in the $20 million, $25 million region per year at this point. You know, NBA salaries are going up and they will forever continue to go up. You know, that's just the way that sports salaries work. But I don't know. It may be harsh to Spencer Dinwiddie, but I'd probably put him in a similar sort of market to Tim Hardaway Jr. In terms of what they'd probably be able to pick up and the impact they'd have on another team. And it may be a bit harsh. I think it is a little bit harsh, actually. But in terms of, he's not going to
I think that's a bit harsh. That's...
He's not going to earn maybe as much. It is, yeah, it's a bit harsh. that's harsh. No, but I don't think he's at $25 million a year if you're doing, you know, $125 over 5 years sort of deal. I don't think he's that kind of player. I don't think he'd be willing to throw that much money at him for that long.
To me, it's the years. He's just torn his ACL. Mm. We don't know what he's going to be like when he gets back. And we don't know how easily he's going to injure himself in the future as a result of coming back from his ACL tear. I think he's, based on his play, I would say he's possibly worth $25 million a year for a few years. And before he was injured, he might have been on his way to 25.5. I think if he wants 25 now, he's going to have to accept something like 3 years. But, you know, they might say, well, we'll give you 4 years for $20 million or something like that, you know? I think people will be a little, don't get me wrong, but modern science is much better than it used to be. You know, you would give you'd give certain players like, I don't know, Tracy McGrady, Grant Hill, that type of money. And that was when they were, you know, doing surgery with a shovel, you know, and a knife and fork. But, you know, 25 years later, it's a bit better. And, you know, you can just pop over to Germany and they'll build you a new knee just like that. And it'll work just as good as the old one. So maybe I'm wrong, but I think he might not get 5 years at that number.
I'm with you on that. I think, yeah, the big issue on his, you know, maybe what he wants is the number of years. You know, $25 million a year, as I say, is more common now for players of Spencer Dinwiddie's kind of caliber, you know, because the wages and how much players are getting paid is going up. But yeah, I think, yeah, I'm with you. It's the names. No, the names, the years.
The years. so then one final question. Some of the regular watchers on Twitch may have noticed that the Captain Kirk, so if you are watching, you can see him down on the little screen down there. Behind the little bus, you can see him at the back of the bus there. He's the guy that makes all of this work, and he jumped on to Twitch last week with our friend from Discord, Richard Hunt, and they did a sort of 2K, you know, playthrough. They played a bit of 2K while they were streaming. It's sort of a new thing that we're trying at Double Clutch. How did you get on with that, Kirk? Did you and Richard have fun with that?
Yeah, it was really good. We're just trying to bring something different in the off season, I think, because the Olympics is keeping us going for a couple of weeks. Then you've got the draft, but then this off season, if we think about once all the trades are all done and everything's out of the way, we will need to bring something new to the table. And with 2K bringing out 2K22 in September, we wanted to try and push the community and give them something that they can all join in. So we're going to be doing more streams in the future with members of the community just to come and play with us. I know you've picked up NBA and a PS5. How are you finding it?
Yeah, so I was very lucky enough to pick up a PS5 a few weeks ago, well, months ago now. And yeah, I've been diving into the My Career mode. So I feel like I'm the best player 2K ever now. So I'll take anyone on, but I'm probably not. I'll probably get destroyed. I think the last time I played a basketball game was NBA Live 08, and it had Gilbert Arenas on the front. and it wasn't even on a PlayStation or a Nintendo. It was on a Wii. So I guess it was on a Nintendo, but it was it's such a terrible console. Looking back on it, but have you been playing? Do you play any consoles, Harry?
I have a PS4. I've not got the pockets on my student overdraft to invest in the PS5 at this point.
So I'm sticking with my
2K on my PS4. I'm a My Career Park guy as well. Richard, I've played with Richard before, and he absolutely destroys me when it comes to playing like 5-on-5, my team, stuff like that. You know, Richard's cracking at 2K. But I think if we played 1-on-1, my career, my players, I think I might have him. I think I back myself in that matchup.
It sounds like we need to set up an esports team, doesn't it? I think we can.
I started making a Double Clutch Pro-Am team at the start of 2K, and then nobody was interested. And I was like, oh, okay.
Let's do it. I've got a PS5 now, so I'm in. Let's do it. The reason I'm talking about all this is actually Richard Hunt's question said, seeing as a lot of you have been playing 2K, this gives me an opportunity to plug my 2K podcast with myself and Kirk, which I just mentioned. In previous 2K years, what is the one player card, could even be a release in park, that you would say is your favorite? Mine is Goat Kareem from last year in my team. He was ridiculous. Now, I'm still new sort of to 2K, so I've got a vague understanding of what he's talking about, but I haven't used the cards all that much or my team at this stage. One thing that I do like on my team is that I've been playing WNBA on the most recent game of 2K. So I'm looking forward to playing the next game because it had Candace Parker on the front cover, the first woman to ever be on a cover of 2K. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that. But what do you think of his question? Who's your favorite player card and in my team?
I'm not a big My Team player, as I said before, but I know one that I absolutely used to love. And like, it was sometimes they bring back like these throwback cards, and it's any sort of throwback Derrick Rose card. They're absolute cheat codes. Just any sort of Derrick Rose with some semi-decent ratings from, his Chicago Bulls MVP.
Like 2011, 2012 sort of period. Yeah.
Any sort of 2011, 2012 sort of Derrick Rose sort of card. And it's ridiculous. Yeah, Derrick Rose cards. Derrick Rose, a good Derrick Rose on 2K is a cheat code.
All right. Okay, that's your lot then. That's everything we've got for you this week. There have been a couple of articles going up recently because our very own Josh Coyne has been chatting to some of the Team USA players who are obviously over playing in the Olympics. So he's been going along to the press calls on that. He wrote up a really good piece. I think he basically wrote it to get the Lost in Translation headline because he's a big movie guy. It's all about Japan and USA and that sort of stuff. So, that's basically why he wrote it. But it's a fantastic article with a good bit of insight from some of the best players in the world. So make sure you go check that out and also follow him on Twitter as well. He's recently changed his Twitter handle. It used to be Poundcoin. I'll just look it up, see what he is. I think is he still Poundcoin?
I think he's still Poundcoin, isn't he?
He's still Poundcoin, but coin spelt with C-O-Y-N-E. So make sure you go and check him out because he's got lots of insight from great players there. I guess hopefully we'll be doing another, Kirk will be doing another 2K stream in the next few weeks. So make sure you stay tuned to the channel. But otherwise, guys, we will be back. Thanks for sticking around with us. Sorry, I haven't been managing to get to the questions in the actual, Twitch stream. I'll be honest, I've forgotten my Twitch login. So I can't actually see the questions without logging into Twitch. But I'll figure that out for next time. And we'll be back answering more of your live questions. But Harry, happy birthday. Kirk, thanks for running the show as ever. Matt, thanks for editing it up afterwards. But now I'm Hugh Hopkins. Peace.